Welcome to the Get Cyber Smart podcast, your 10-minute educational look into this crazy thing we call cyber. I am your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott. And in this episode, we are going to talk about multi-factor authentication, why you should use it, how to use it, and when you should use it. All right, so in 20 years working for the FBI, when I started with the FBI, multi-factor authentication existed, but it wasn't something that was widely used. And I'm sad to report that here we are 20 years later, and it's still underused, I guess is the best way to put it. I mean, certainly many folks use it. There's every online application allows you to turn it on for added security, yet the problem is most people still don't exactly understand it, find it too complicated, and I'm here to hopefully dispel those beliefs that it's really that complicated and it's not something you should use. Because really, if you take a look at the password stuff we talked about last week and multi-factor authentication we talked about this week, if you do those two things, you will reduce your cyber risk significantly. I wish that when I went to talk to many of the companies that were victims, or individuals really that were victims, and they found out that someone had gotten into their email account or into their social media account, the first thing I would always ask is, or two things I would ask, how long's your password? Usually it was 8 characters or something easy for them to remember, like password or their mother's maiden name or something like that. And then I would ask about, do you have multi-factor authentication turned on? And the usual answer was, what's that? Perfect example, my best friend from high school called me. His wife's Facebook and Instagram had been compromised. Turned out, I believe she had the same password for both. And when I asked about multi-factor authentication, they said, how do you turn that on? So it's certainly a problem that continues today. And hopefully this little podcast, this little 7 to 10 minute podcast, will answer all your questions about multi-factor authentication. Hopefully make you go out when you turn this podcast off and start turning on multi-factor authentication everywhere. So first thing, let's talk about the difference between multi-factor authentication and two-factor authentication. There's really not a whole lot of difference other than the number of authentications you need. And it's pretty obvious from the names what that means. So two-factor authentication simply means you need two forms of authentication. In most cases, it's something you have and something you know. So that may be a password is something you know, and a text message or an email with a 6-digit code is something you have. Or you could reverse that if you wanted to define it that way. But either way, it's something you have and something you know. Multi-factor authentication is any type of authentication that requires two or more factors of authentication. Now, do you have logins that require 3-4 different types of authentication? For most of us listening here, no, we don't. It's always going to be two-factor authentication. But certainly at higher levels of classification areas, there's multiple reasons to need different types of authentication. For the most part, for those of us listening here, it's really going to be, you know, you just need the two-factor authentication. So what is it? How do you turn it on? Well, if you have, and then where should you turn it on? So let's talk about where you should turn it on. Ideally, you should have it on for everything you have that requires a login, be it your email, your financial accounts, your network access at work, your social media accounts, anything that you require a password login, you should turn on the additional multi-factor authentication security or the two-factor authentication. And what that'll basically do is they'll, in most cases, ask you for a couple ways to do it. The three most common ways are by text message, by email, or by authenticator application. So let's look at those a little bit individually. So text message is very simple. You put in your phone number, and if you have multi-factor authentication turned on, when you go to log in, you put in your username, you put in your password. Hopefully it's a long password like we talked about last week. And then they'll send you a text message, and you put in the code. With email, it's the same thing, except they send you an email instead. And the third way is you have an app on your phone and you set up, usually with a QR code. Most sites that use a multi-factor authentication application have a QR code that you scan it with your phone and it puts the 6-digit code on your phone. Now that is the most secure way to do it. Obviously, it's a little more complicated if you're not technically savvy. I'm starting a YouTube channel to kind of talk about some of this cyber stuff. So there's a visual representation of that. I think my first video I'm going to do past my introductory video is going to be on multi-factor authentication and how to do it on an app. So look for that in the near future. It's the Cyber Smart YouTube channel. It's not hard to find. But anyway, you want to use it. Doing the app is the safest way. So, you know, if you pick the application, you download the app, and there's plenty of different apps you can choose from. I use Google Authenticator. If you're not a big Google fan, the other ones are Authy, which is A-U-T-H-Y. There's AndOTP, which is an open source alternative. There's LastPass Authenticator, and there's a Microsoft Authenticator. Those are kind of the top five. And I'm getting that from a website called cloudawards.net or cloudwards.net. They did a ranking of the top five, and those are them. They're all free. They shouldn't cost you anything. There are four pay services that in most cases are more business-oriented. So if you work for a company and they make you put Duo on your phone so that you can get into their network access with that multi-factor authentication, that's what that's for, but they're paying for that service. There's also one, I believe Norton has a version of this, but again, it's mostly business-oriented and it's for pay. So, but those are free ones that anyone can download and use and very easily set up. The one thing I will note with that, if you're using an authenticator app, is once you create it, it also provides you with recovery keys. So if you lose the app, if you switch your phones, you can still log into your account with that recovery number. So you want to store that. If you have a password manager like we talked about last week, you can store that recovery number in there so you can use that to get in your account. I learned this the hard way. I made this mistake. I switched phones recently and forgot to go into my Google Authenticator and turn off the multi-factor authentication on the sites I was using the authenticator for. And so I kind of had to go through some hoops to get those turned off and then reinstalled and all that kind of stuff. So I will recommend that you write down, make sure you store those recovery codes. They will give those to you. And I just forgot to store them or put them on a notepad. I forgot where they were. So that's the app. That's the best option to use. The email and text message are a little more insecure in the sense that there are a lot of scams out there that will trick you into giving them your code. So there's a website with a guy I follow on LinkedIn named Gabriel Freelander. He's got a website called wizardtraining.com, and he shows a video that's very good about how this works. So let's take Amazon, for example. You get a text message or something that says, this is Amazon security. Someone made an unauthorized purchase on your account. If you want to turn it off, reply with yes. So if you don't know any better, you reply with yes. And they've already got your username and password. They've already got that to that point in your Amazon account. So they give you this text message. You say yes. And then you get another message that we're about to send you a 6-digit code for security purposes to verify who you are. And so you get that text message and you respond back with what that code is. It'll do this via email. And then they have the code that gets you into your account. So there is a risk there. It's rare, but it exists. So just be aware of it. Again, look for that video at wizertraining.com-training, I believe. You can see how that works. It's a very good video. I highly recommend taking a look at that. But that's kind of how the text message and the email kind of work that way. But again, you have to be careful on scams that are trying to get you to give them that code. So if you're on the site logging in the site you're on Amazon, it says we're about to send you a 6-digit code and you get a text message with that code, you can feel pretty confident, very confident, that that's the code you need to use. I wouldn't worry about it in that respect. What I would worry about it for, both for email and text message, is if they send you an email out of the blue that says there's some kind of security problem and they're going to help you with that. So just look for those and don't provide them with any text message you get with a code for that. So just be aware of that. So that's really multi-factor authentication in a nutshell, in a less than 10-minute nutshell. I hope you find some value in that. I hope you start turning on your multi-factor authentication or your two-factor authentication or you start using apps or what have you. And that will make you safer as you go through the week. I want to thank everyone for listening to the Get Cyber Smart podcast, because as you know, if you get a little cyber smarter, you'll get a whole lot cyber safer. You can download this podcast or tell your friends to download this podcast from any of the more common podcast solutions like Google, Spotify, Apple, and so on. If you like what you hear, give a 5-star review. If you have any questions, email me, Darren@cybersmart.com. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.